Hey friend, I'm Tanisha Sela, and you're listening to the Life of an Empath podcast. I'm an empath, Akashic Records reader, and intuitive guide. I'm exactly what you would expect a modern day mystic to be. I meditate, I'm a crystal lover, sporadic yogi, and I believe in love and universal goodness. I help high-level creatives, empaths, and teams achieve emotional clarity and allow them to utilize intuition as business strategy. On this podcast, I share stories about my personal spiritual journey, the lessons that I'm learning through my clients, and life as a wife and mom of two toddlers. Welcome to my life. Let's get started. We're back with Mandy Bynum of Mandy Bynum Consulting. Today, we're talking about the nature of these uncertain times. Mandy, everyone is using the term uncertain times. What does this mean to you?
I thrive in uncertainty. Uncertainty to me means the possibilities are endless because, yes, maybe I'm capitalizing on someone's lack of comfort to say, come with me. I know the way. And so I see it as a huge opportunity to make real change, because we're at a point where the people who are uncertain are finally saying, I'm uncertain, and someone else, please tell me what to do. And I think it's really opening up a lot of space to do things that are truly impactful, and to uncover the places where folks were ignoring before and saying like, that's not a problem, or that experience isn't happening to you. And now that people are uncertain, it's like, oh my gosh, that's happening too. Oh my gosh, that's happening too. Let's do something about this. And so depending on where you are, if you are privileged enough to have all of the resources that you need, and your only uncertainty is between your ears, then good for you. If you are someone who is extremely lacking resources, it is wildly uncertain. You are living day by day, minute by minute, hour by hour.
Right.
And on top of that, you may not even have access to the resources you need to stay afloat. Mm-hmm. And so on both ends, there's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of stress, and it shows up everywhere. I can see it showing up everywhere, as I'm sure you can too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. How would you say this is impacting the way in which we work? Like, are your clients coming to you with specific ideas and concepts, or is it business as normal for most of them?
I would say that the companies who are coming to me, they are not hurting. Mm-hmm. They are being influenced, pushed by their stakeholders to do something differently, to represent differently, to have a intelligent voice around the status quo. And I can tell that within 2 minutes of talking to someone, because if they can't explain to me what they're doing for diversity, if they're telling me that they're diverse and I look at their numbers and they're not at all, it's hard to know where to start with them, because you can't even really explain what you do. Mm-hmm. Because anything past I can come in and do a diversity training for you is just like, you may as well be speaking something that's not from this planet.
Right.
And so it's been really interesting to see the spectrum of folks who come to me. And as someone who is a consultant, you have to take the time to let people in and feel comfortable with you, or else you're not going to close the deal. And so it's that balance of, okay, I want to sign this contract with you because I know what you need to do. And right. I'm excited for the evolution that you're going to be able to see within your own business. Mm-hmm. But if you can't see that, then it's going to be kind of tough. And I have to let my reputation and my work speak for itself. Mm-hmm. Because what happens in our work is that we get companies to a place where they are confused. They're like, what is the plan? And our response is, we'll get there, or you'll see the plan. But part of being equitable and inclusive is being content in that uncertainty, because the answer will come, and it's not going to come from you or come from inside.
Right.
And so it's, like I said, it's been really interesting to see where people fall. Mm-hmm. And there's no one's doing it right. There are no best practices. And so it's really just, you're really just hiring me to help you, you know, hold your hand while you're on the journey, not necessarily mm-hmm. give you the answers.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, I feel like throughout the whole coronavirus situation, not a lot has changed for me personally. I was already working at home, doing my sessions, giving my readings, and it seemed like the only thing that changed significantly was that everybody else in the world decided that this was the perfect time, because of their uncertainty, to look inward and to focus more so on their work, their inner work. What would you say has been the biggest change that's occurred in your life or personally?
Yeah, I think since working at my past company as the head of diversity, equity, and inclusion, I wanted to do everything. And I wanted to be a part of everything. And if everything wasn't changing at once, then I felt like it was my fault. Mm-hmm. And I felt responsible for everything. Mm-hmm. And it took me a lot of therapy and a lot of time to practice letting go of certain things. Mm-hmm. Because no matter what I did, someone was going to say it wasn't enough. Or someone wasn't going to say it was good enough, mm-hmm. or was going to say it wasn't good enough. And so over this time, I've done a ton of reflection around how can I make an impact in a way that is not extending myself to a place of being unproductive.
Mm-hmm.
Like
mm-hmm.
I am not productive going out to a march. It does not work for me because I feel like I'm wasting my time. Right. I should be in an office. I should be consulting people. I should be working my butt off as a consultant so that I can see the change that I want to see in generations.
Right.
And I think that's been a really tough thing for me personally, because I want to be out there. I want to, like a lot of people, you want to show that you're doing something, but oftentimes the doing something, you have to figure out what exactly that is and focus on that. And so it's been an interesting few months for me, for sure.
Yeah. I love that you said that. And I hope that some of my listeners really take heed to what you're saying here, because I feel like there's so many people that have been dying to do something, that they're willing to do anything, even if it's outside of their soul purpose or outside of the set of gifts that they have that are going to work the best for them. Like, going to a march is definitely not the only way that you can show up in activism, and it's not the only way that you can show up and lead, support, or use your voice. And I hope that we can just normalize using our own gifts through this process. And I hope that as we are all collectively in this moment and reassessing how we want to move forward individually, that we can just stay within what works best for us, for sure. I was talking to someone the other day, and it's just like, I just want to do something. Well, let's do what you do best.
Right.
And if you set the intention to do that, that is going to be perfect. And it's going to work perfectly for you, because it's not changing yourself or you becoming some other person to show up. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in the first Runner Realness podcast, I spoke with Grace, our mutual friend, about mm-hmm. how times have technically never been certain. We've just felt more certain or secure or confident in them. Would you agree with this?
Yeah. Yes. I depending on who you are, I think for women like you and I who are Black and of a color, we have had to learn how to navigate in spaces that were not, will not, will never be built for our success. And we've just come to terms with that. And that can manifest itself in negative ways sometimes, because it means stepping on others. And that is the journey that we have taken. And now that everyone else is deciding that we have value, we are being asked a lot. I see it as a time to step into our power, to mm-hmm. step into and double down on the things that we've always been talking about, that we've always been working towards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is, it all comes back to the focus of like, what am I good at? What am I definitely not good at? Let's start there actually. And how can we empower ourselves and not be afraid of our own success to the extent by which we really step into that gift and have an impact through that gift.
Right. But seriously, isn't the goal of organizational structure to be prepared for the unexpected, to better understand the employee, to have their finger on the pulse of their well-being? Like, if this was truly the case, why are organizations so shaken by the quote unquote uncertain times?
Girl.
give it to us, Mandy.
All right. So if we've had this government, this type of government for this long, we've had a society that has incentivized us in so many ways to buy into, to invest in whiteness and white supremacy, and to capitalize on the cultures of those who are marginalized. And so that has been the way that we've been conditioned, the way that we've been incentivized. So it only makes sense that with this bubbling up of situations, I mean, it wasn't just George Floyd. Like, this shit has been, pardon my French, this has been happening for such a long time.
Right.
For hundreds of years.
And forever.
Forever. That, like, it just because the leaders are finally, you know, turning over their pillows and maybe listening to the alarm clock and not putting snooze on it anymore, doesn't mean that this has not been happening. And how that ends up manifesting is that not only are the white majority folks in organizational leadership becoming awake and aware, the employees are starting to become more aware of their own power and starting to become more aware of, like, this is messed up. Mm-hmm. We should be doing something about this. And it is both these people who have the fire and who want to enact change and who are pushing their leadership to say, this is on you. You as leaders are meant to be the ones listening to us. Mm-hmm. And neither is correct. A lot of times in my career, I've worked with people who are marginalized, like myself, and I have to constantly challenge them to say, what have you done to advocate for yourself? Mm. And oftentimes they, just like white leaders don't have the language to talk about what are they doing for diversity,
yes,
we sometimes don't have the language for ourselves. And I think of my parent, who is 65, who worked as a product engineer for his entire career and is still just getting to the point where he has language around, like, the black tax or certain things that have happened to him that we haven't had the opportunity to really talk about in a space that will provide us with the power to do something about it. Right. And so it's this cyclical thing of, like, how are we being incentivized? And how does every person feed into that? And now that it's being blown up, how do we pick up the pieces and figure out where we can have impact?
Right. See, this is exactly why I believe, and I'm biased, that every organization needs an intuitive roadmap for business at the macro level and emotional clarity for the everyday employees. We need the language to be able to understand ourselves first and be able to normalize speaking about that so that then we can become better advocates for ourselves. And in absence of that, we are just as lost as the people that we are trying to fight against. So the issue here has really been that the reactions from companies have been disconnected from the needs of their teams. So just the other day, a friend shared with me how suddenly some colleagues were laid off, like in the middle of a pandemic. You know, it's just not just one thing, but you have companies like Airbnb doing very transparent, empathetic layoffs, providing insurance, severance, professional coaching to employees who can't afford to keep those things. And then there's the flip side where people show up to work, well, virtually, and are being shown the door. Like, what are the long-term ramifications of these current times, and what business practices are going to have to shift in order for employees to trust their employers again? Like, what's the what?
Yeah, I think it's interesting you say that, because it's a trusting your employees, but for so long we haven't had the option of being able to trust our employees, and the answer of whether or not we trust them can distinguish whether or not we stay at the company.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We've had to say, like, there's so many times it's like, I should feel lucky to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens for so many of us, especially who are tokenized. It's like, okay, well, I'm here and I have talents, and so I'm just going to keep on going. Whereas I think now that people are becoming more aware of what kind of value we bring to companies, a lot, the whole macro system of capitalism is going to change, because a lot of people are going to say, I don't want to work for you full time. I don't want to be shackled by your benefits, by your insurance. I can pay that my damn self. Mm-hmm. And I will do this job for you, but I'm not going to do all that other stuff. And so I think it's both like an awareness of how we as those who have not had power are stepping into it. Mm-hmm. And therefore companies, if they want the value that we can bring, they have to make shifts to accommodate for us. And so I am seeing a lot more companies hire consultants. Those consultants are hiring consultants. Mm-hmm. We who have not had generational wealth are, instead of putting it into a 401k, we are investing it in businesses.
Yes.
We're putting that money back into our communities. Mm-hmm. Because we have the power to do so, and we don't have to necessarily rely on this blind faith of our, you know, corporate masters to help us navigate through our society anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've been personally concerned with where we as a general populace go from here. We now have employees who are demanding that they receive a deeper satisfaction from their work, or they're going to leave. And we have companies publicly taking an anti-racist position. But is this all performative? Like, what are the frameworks and tools we must have in place to make this permanent? How does this become permanent?
Mm-hmm. It's absolutely performative. No doubt about it. I always think of Grey's Anatomy, or like actors who play doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get on a plane and they can like do stuff when someone is hurt because through osmosis they've learned how to do medical stuff just by pretending to be one on TV. So that is like kind of the benefit of the doubt I give leaders. If they're going to say something and put their necks out there, even if they don't believe it, that's on record and they said it. So now they have nothing but answers to give as to how they're backing that up. And what I'm finding is that the companies who are not saying anything are the ones who are doing more of the work, or they're not doing any work. So there's the, you have to have an answer, yes, but also your silence is an answer. Mm-hmm. And so we have to, give the benefit of the doubt that our organizations are saying something, and also trust that people are going to hold them to that. Mm-hmm. Over time. Mm-hmm. Because it's out there and it's public. And then also, I also wonder, like, after 6 months, is this going to still go back to the way it was? Mm-hmm. Or has this changed everything? I just don't know. And I think it has been 3 or 4 months and I'm still getting inquiries, not as many as I did the week after George Floyd was shot.
Right.
But people are still saying, we're going to hire someone and we're going to post this job. But the act of actually doing that in itself is hard and takes time. Mm-hmm. So people are a little bit behind, but I think there's a second flow of action happening from certain leaders.
Mm-hmm. I hope so, because I think that silence can be deafening, and not doing enough in this moment is still common among companies. But I hope that we can just learn from where we've been and just continue to grow. I am a firm believer in, you know, our next level begins where our comfort level ends. And we are going to need to get uncomfortable in order to make lasting change for the marginalized people, for Black people. And that is when we will finally be more equal in all things, and we'll be more satisfied in all things, and not just us as Black women, but everybody else too. I think what we don't realize is that someone's unhappiness, someone's on the team's unhappiness is all of our unhappiness. It's, you know, their negativity becomes our negativity. So hopefully we can get it together. I really appreciate you breaking this all down for us. I think this was amazing. Guys, please go follow Mandy. Look up her work on mandybynum.com. Hire her so that she can tell you what to do and create a plan for you. And we'll talk to you next time, friends. Thanks.
Thanks, Tanisha.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. My hope is that you always consider me a resource for spiritual wisdom and all things soul level. Allow me to offer you some action steps that you can take right now to either start or deepen your own spiritual connection. Connect me to a friend or coworker or relative of yours that needs to hear this episode now. Send it over to them, even if you've already told them all about how intuitive guidance can help and they haven't made their move yet. You can follow me at _lifeofanempath_ on Instagram, and then send me a DM so that we can schedule some phone time for you ASAP so you can start a deeper journey for yourself. Or reach out to me and let me know you want to start the process of supporting the journey of another that wouldn't have access otherwise. You can schedule your initial consult by going to my website at lifeofanempath.com. Email me at Tanisha@lifeofanempath.com and let me know that you'd love for me to share insights like you've heard on the podcast at your organization, or you would like to explore the possibilities of scheduling ongoing group facilitated emotional clarity or declutter the mind sessions for your team as we move forward toward alignment as a global community. I can't wait to connect with you.